Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless. Hey, if you're a guest with us, I want to welcome you and just thank you for coming. Nice to meet you ladies this weekend. Good to have some of you. Some of you are familiar faces, and it's good to have you here. Some of you we've walked with for years, decades even. And so it's just good to be here and just take a deep breath and settle into this thing called family. And to worship together and to be encouraged by each other and to pray for each other and to have just encouragements come to our hearts, not only from our words and our impressions and the visions that we see and the sense that we get from the Holy Spirit, but from God's word itself. And so with that, I'd like to read a passage out of 1 Peter 4. And I'd like to invite you to just settle into this passage and just let me read it twice. The first time, I'm just going to remind you of the passage. And then the second time, I want to have the pauses in between the phrases be a way for you to connect more deeply with the passage and maybe have God speak to you through this. So 1 Peter 4, verse 8. I'm going to be reading it out of the New Living Translation. So if you have a different translation, then it may sound different. So perhaps on the second go around, you just close your eyes and receive it. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Again, let me read this, and this time just absorb it, and we'll just pause periodically, and just perhaps God would want to say something to you specifically to you through this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus, we recognize that you are the Word and that you've come and you've made your dwelling with us and that you speak to us through your Scripture and you speak to our hearts. And we want to receive from you today just an encouragement, strength, lift our eyes, change our perspective in a way that reflects more accurately what it is you want us to see. So we give you this time now and we thank you for it. Amen. You know, over the last month, I've been rolling out some vision for something that I've come to know as a collection of people that are associated with each other at the heart level, where they choose to live life together, and they choose to do this life together with not only an inward focus of the group, but an outward focus of what's going on in the community and what is God placing on their hearts to serve or to reflect to the community at large some aspect of God's love for this community. And I call that group, or those collections of people, I call them Aspen Groves. And it's like the roots are all sharing and they go deep. And the roots can extend out and create Aspen Grove over here and an Aspen Grove over here. So I see this very dynamic. It's fluid. It's moving. And With that, I just want to offer a couple of suggestions to you and a couple of thoughts to you. Because one of the things that is very important about Aspen Grove is it's not just another meeting. And it's not just a program that's like going to support the larger vision of like this church only. Like the larger vision of, let me rephrase that. It is going to support the larger vision of this church, but it's not going to just support the Sunday morning gathering. The Sunday morning gathering is important. It's vital. We're all here for a reason this morning, but it's not the epicenter of our Christian experience. It's part of the Christian experience. And so the kingdom of God being the epicenter, Jesus himself being the epicenter, so we're Christocentric in that regard, and everything points towards him and towards the kingdom, and that can happen in or outside of this building. But it always happens in the context of relationships. Relationships with each other, and then together, relationships with others who maybe have never stepped foot in a church building or would not necessarily call them a follower of Jesus, and yet our love for them holds no hidden agenda. It's to be a blessing and to be a conduit of the gifts that God has given us. Your version of the scripture may have mentioned something about the manifold grace of God. I work on cars. Some of you know that. Sometimes I work on them because I like to, and sometimes I work on them because I have to. This weekend is a have-to weekend. But there are a couple of manifolds within the systems of the car where air is either being pulled in from various ports and coming into the motor, and then it's distributed to these different ports depending on how many cylinders, and then that air is... That's an intake manifold, and then there's the exhaust manifold where all of that different ports push the air out into a single tube. So those are manifolds, so many going into one. Or more appropriately here, the one being distributed out to the many. We are the recipients of the many. We are the recipients of the gifts of God, the grace of God. He holds all things gracious. He holds all things kind and good, and all of these things that are powerful and life-changing and transformative, not only for your life, but for the life of this community. And he distributes all of that goodness to each one of us in unique ways. And as part of the manifold grace of God, we distribute that out through our lives. And so this is a real encouragement, because what it does is it begins to ask the question, why would we gather life on life together in these things called Aspen Groves? Why would we do that? Why would we choose to be families on mission with other families? What's the mission? What's the purpose? Like, what's the intention? And I would say that there are a few. And let me just pull it right out of the scripture that we just read. And the first is to show deep love for one another. That's the mission. That's the purpose. That's the intention. To show deep love for one another. And then it goes right into this phrase that I've kind of wrestled with at times, for love covers a multitude of sins. And I've thought at times in my life that maybe that would be interpreted like, if I love someone, then I'll turn a blind eye to their dysfunctional behavior. I've since learned that that's not actually how to read that passage of scripture. That what we do is we recognize that there's a larger story at work here, because if we're living in the larger story, then we ourselves personally are not the main character, right? God is the main character. And so in the larger context of this, when we read love covers over a multitude of sins, you come to realize is that there's this thing that what's first done to us by Jesus, we do for others, right? And this is going to be an echo that's going to run through the next few minutes here of my encouragement. God's love for you, it motivated his heart to cover the multitude of sin in your life, right? So how did he do that? Well, we could say by the finished work of the cross. Like, Jesus was so motivated out of love that he chose not to turn a blind eye to our dysfunctions, not to turn a blind eye to our brokenness, not to turn a blind eye to any of that, but to cover us. And what did he cover us with? And I'm just going to take it right out of the scripture. He covered us with his righteousness. He made us right because of his great love for us. I love Isaiah 61:10. It says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as the bride adorns herself with her jewels. He's the one who clothes us in that. And so out of 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin, that's speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us. So we see the finished work of the cross. We see the sacrifice that he chose to make because of the great love that he has for us, so that in him, in who? In Jesus, we might become what? It doesn't just say that we might become righteous. It says that we might become the righteousness of God. So when we notably accept the gift of Christ, then we're made right with God. We're made right with ourselves. We're made right with others. And that is God clothing us and covering us, because his great love covers over that multitude of sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of the earth. Like, he desires and longs for all of us to be covered. We have to come into agreement with it. We have to put that on. That's why scripture says, put on the new man. Clothe yourself in love. Choose to do that. Choose to receive it. He's the one who did it. Now choose to receive it. God has covered you. And in that covering, he's created a new identity for us in Jesus. We're no longer orphans. We're beloved children. We're no longer wanderers. We're citizens of heaven. We're not fearful anymore. We have a sound mind and we have a powerful spirit. We're no longer hateful. Now we're loving. We're not independent, but we're a part of something. This is what his great love does for us when he covers the multitude of our sins. And this is what, in the same way then, we express deep love for each other, and that love ushers in the truth. Guess what? It ushers in the truth about the person we're loving. It ushers in, it becomes not only a conduit for people to experience love, it actually creates an atmosphere around them where they can begin to see themselves in light of God's great love. They begin to see their destiny more clearly. They begin to imagine hope. They begin to experience things that, had they not been loved by you, they may have stayed in that state of poverty. So it's a threshold that brings them into an experience with the love of Christ that really does cover and redeem a life once ruled by brokenness and sin and dysfunction and disease. And I guess in this, we're helping others that their hearts might be recovered. It's about people's hearts coming alive. And I think that it's more than just a play on words. I think you and I, as followers of Jesus, living life together, choosing to walk in this thing called depth of relationship with God and with each other, we get to not only be a conduit for other people to experience love, we get to be a catalyst so that people's hearts can come more fully alive, so that their hearts can literally be recovered. So that's why we're encouraged to be hospitable. Yes, that's sharing a meal and opening your homes to your friends. And yet the word hospitality, did I say hostility? Okay, good, because I just had a moment where I was echoing back what I think I just said, and it was like, that's not right. We're not to be hostile. We're to be hospitable. And so, yeah, you just got a glimpse in. It's a scary place. The word here, it extends beyond those we know and those we care about. It's about welcoming the stranger. And again, it's about extending to others what you've personally experienced from God. Right? So at one time, you and God were strangers. Maybe you grew up in a household where God was not strange to you. Like maybe that was so normal. And we're seeing all these little kids running around, and God is normal. Like this whole thing about having deep personal relationship with God and God speaking to us, and we hear and we respond to that and we take courage and we step out in faith and we do all these things. I love the fact that we're raising a generation of kids where that's normal. But for a lot of us, that was not normal. And at times, we could honestly say God and I were strangers and really didn't know him. And you may have even had a hard time trusting him, since we usually are cautious towards something that we don't know or understand, right? So we may have even had animosity towards God and held an offense towards God. And yet in all of that, he brought us in. In all of that, he drew near. Even if we were resistant, you know, he drew near. God is hospitable. And so all this brings me back to the purpose of why we want to be intentional to live life together, because we want to be a safe place for people to mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to be a safe place for people to mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want it to become like a natural invitation into this thing called intimacy with God. It's not religion, right? It's not that. And it's not another program and another form that just tries to help us wrap our heads around what we read about in the New Testament when we look at the first generation church and we're like, man, they were doing it. Why can't we do it? Let's build a program so we can do it. So here's my challenge for you this week. If anyone invites you over to their house for dinner, whether they go to this church or any church at all, take them up on it. Go. So sometimes it's like, well, it's our initiative and it's our responsibility to invite other people in. Well, I tell you what, if you have a welcoming, hospitable heart, people are going to be drawn to that. They're going to want more of you. Any invitation at all. Now, if Friday comes around and you're like kicking the dirt, you're like, nobody invited me. Then it's your turn. Somebody's got to do it. But I like the idea that, you know, you would have friendships outside of church. I like the idea that there would be friends that you would have, neighbors that you would have, people that are around in your sphere that the conversation may come up. And it doesn't have to be dinner. It could be a coffee. It could be whatever, just some time to connect. All right? So there it is. Because hospitality isn't just opening your home and having a meal. It's not just having a meeting at your house. Hospitality is welcoming the stranger into your heart. And they may not just be your stranger. They may be a stranger to God. You know what I mean? Like they may not have a relationship with God. So that's me wanting to push it out there, do something. So the other reason why we'd want to gather together is because in the context of that relationship, we get to experience, we get to discover, first of all, what is the manifold grace gift of God in your life? You get to experience it. You get to practice it. You get to push it out there. You get to get encouraged. You get to get spoken to like, hey, I see this in you. It's amazing. Anytime you do this thing, whatever it is, my heart is so blessed. Those kind of words give us clues about our design and what it is that God's given us in the way of grace. Grace. Now, we know the word grace, right? We know that word. Maybe not. We hear it like in the song, Amazing Grace. We pray before every meal, we call that grace. But grace is, it's got substance. It's an effectual thing that is given by God. It's life itself in the way that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And then God, in relationship with us, gives us that same very Spirit to take up residence in our life. That's his grace, not only to receive us and to cover us and to make us right, but it's also his grace to give us the capacity to do things that we in and of our own selves could never do. And that's a divine gift. And it's his kindness, not only to us, but through us. So whatever God does to you, he wants to do through you, right? He wants you to do it to others, right? So however it is you're experiencing the life of Jesus, and so you get to experience that. You get to, like, discover it and push it out and have fun with it. And in that serving, you become conduits for the glory of Jesus to be manifested in the lives of the people that you're serving. So it's all about reflecting okay, I'm going to say this phrase, all right? And then I will want to unpack this. But here we go. I mean, it's all about you reflecting to the world around you what is true about the world inside you with God. Again, I'll say it. It's like, it's about you reflecting to the world around you what's true about the world inside of you, like with God, like your spiritual life. What we receive from the Father, we in turn offer to other people, right? So if your spiritual life is mainly growing and vibrant, then the ways that you bless other people will be vibrant. And the flip side, if your internal life is self-absorbed, then your expression of life to the world around you is going to be pretty selfish. Right? You get what I'm saying? So this is where it always comes back to your own personal relationship with Jesus and intimacy with him. And it's then a reflection outward. So that being said, someone once sat me down recently and they explained to me that Jesus was the same God that we read about in the Old Testament. And I was good with that. But then they went on to say that I shouldn't only promote like a positive spin on him. That the God of judgment that we read about, who was willing to annihilate an entire people group, is the same Jesus. Oh. Well, I have no argument with the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if I'm going to take the premise of what I just shared, that this life that we live is really about reflecting to the world around us what's true about our internal world with God, then the reason why I speak about Jesus as so incredibly reliable and trustworthy and encouraging is because that's how I've come to know him. That's how he's revealed himself to me in the deep places of my heart. And yes, he's also expressed himself to me as untamed and powerful and a force of divine strength that has defeated every enemy of love. He has shown me that he is a judge that is righteous and unwavering. And yet in that, he has shown me that because of his great mercy towards me, he is my judge. He's not judging against me, he's judging for me. Since he has made me righteous in God in Christ Jesus, I'm not the one on trial. Can you receive that? He's my vindicator, and he is judging everything that hinders love in my life. Can you make that personal? Can you hear that for your own journey with Jesus? And his justice does demand restitution, but it's on my behalf. Because everything that I was required to pay, he chose to pay for me on the cross. That's why this message of grace, receiving it and extending it out, is so rooted in this truth being established in our hearts, because any other form of, quote, grace is going to taint the expression of love to other people. Your love will always have hooks in it. If you believe you're the one on trial, if you're believing that you're the one who has to pay restitution and make things right with God, and so you jump through all these religious hoops, okay, I'm just going to quote Andrew, you got to lose your religion then. What you need to do is you need to find the truth of the gospel of grace that has come to you, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why he defeated every foe that was against me, sin and death and all of the things that were against you. The world itself that has its systems that are rooted and established in deception, where it's all about extracting from you life instead of giving life to you. That's what he redeemed me from. That's what he has vindicated for me, is a life of freedom. He says, I have come to set you free. And if you're free in me, then you're free indeed. You are free. Which means you're not on trial anymore. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, this is the stuff of life. This is what these Aspen Grove groups are intended to do, is they're intended to lift our eyes and to say, we want to live life together as people who understand the freedoms that we've been given in Christ. And in that freedom, the grace that has come to me is going to go through me, and I want to be that conduit to the people around me. Whether it's in speech or deed, I'm going to do it all for the glory of Jesus. Not because I have to. Not because I'm trying to appease an angry God, but because I just can't help myself. It's in me, and it's going to jump out of me. So we reflect to the world around us what's true about the internal world that we have with God. Yeah? So we're coming out of a season of healing. We've been gaining renewed strength and encouragement. And we're invited to go deeper. Deeper with Jesus and deeper with each other. So, it's not just a program, but it is something that I'm throwing out there in the way of, if your heart responds to this, like, yes, I want to be a part of something that's a little more intentional. I love coming on Sunday mornings. It's great. Worship is amazing. Thank you guys so much. He did the loop thing. And there's more. So with that, I just want to invite you to stand. Because if you respond in any way to this, I want you to reach out to me. I want you to reach out to me, and I want you to tell me, yeah, I would love to be a part of an Aspen Grove sort of like collection of people. But let me just tell you this. Don't get offended if I turn the tables on you and I say, who are you in relationship with? Go deeper with them. If you reach out to me, I'm not going to plug you into a program. I'm going to encourage your relationships with others. And I want them to be naturally supernatural. It is God who orchestrates this. And sometimes we need the nudge. And yes, I will be that nudge. I will help facilitate this in any way that I can. If some of you want to be like, I've been just dreaming about a way to connect, and I would love to initiate some things. Like, I'll just make the emails, I'll reach out, I'll do whatever in the way of getting folks together on a regular rhythm where you have an orbit together and you connect, then let me know that too. Jesus, you know what's happening here. You know the larger story because you are the author of this. And because we know in part and we see in part, we're going to lean into you on this. Lord, whatever it is in our hearts that needs encouragement this morning, I just pray that you would continue to echo it throughout this day and this week. Just speak to us. And Lord, if there are those who are just really ready to step into more intentional life-on-life relationships where families are joining together and they're doing life together in a way that's encouraging and strengthening their relationship and faith with you, but also looking outward, then I just pray your grace on that, just your favor to rest on this in a way that brings life. And I pray all of this, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast.
If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.